From WTIP News, this is the North Shore Weekend News Roundup. I'm Jay Anderson, and here are some of the stories we've been following this week. Cook County Commissioners decided Tuesday not to go into Phase 2 of planning for a joint-use facility with other agencies. A large vehicle garage and truck wash site, storage, and some office space would be part of the building. County Engineer David Betts told the board he had reviewed file information and early specifications put together by a Virginia, Minnesota architecture group.
I do have some concerns over how this would operate. I'm not sure if it works for the highway department.
Betts said that the project started as a cooperative exploration between the County Highway Department, ISD 166, the DNR, Minnesota Department of Transportation, the city, and Arrowhead Transit. Betts said the school district dropped out of the planning early on. Commissioner Jim Johnson said the highway department already had plenty to keep them busy.
I just would take this off your plate for a while. But keep those lines of communication open in case there's some way we can combine, especially with the city. I think they have more needs than anybody else.
Betts said the structure would be a, quote, serious building. He was concerned about parking, drainage, and large vehicle turnaround space.
You throw an 80,000 square foot building on a 20-acre site, it's just not going to work. No matter what we do, we got to have the right site for the right size building.
Commissioners Johnson and Jan Hall moved not to proceed to another phase of study on the project. Some elements of the plan, such as a vehicle wash area and winter salt storage, might be acted upon as separate county projects.
In August of this year, five conservation groups led by the American Bird Conservancy petitioned the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency for a nationwide ban on lead in ammunition and fishing tackle. The EPA declined to review the proposal to ban lead in ammunition, saying it did not have jurisdiction, but the agency did review the request to ban lead in fishing tackle, which it rejected earlier this month. The EPA said the petitioners had not proven that lead was a danger to the environment. Marge Gibson is a wildlife rehabilitator and director of the Raptor Education Group in Antigo, Wisconsin, and she disagrees.
The EPA really has a responsibility to protect the public, from toxins. It was a very difficult day when I had received the notification that they decided not to ban the lead. They had, sort of a slap in my face and that of all our country's wildlife.
Each year, an estimated 10 to 20 million wild birds die from lead poisoning. There's been a ban on lead in paint, gasoline, and consumer products in the U.S. since the 1970s, and there's been a national ban on the use of lead shot in waterfowl hunting since 1991. Some states have enacted partial restrictions on lead sinkers, but most have opted to educate rather than regulate. Campaigns to educate hunters and fishermen about the toxic effects of lead have had some impact, and non-lead alternatives are becoming increasingly available, but the problem persists, and huge quantities of lead are still ending up in the environment from spent ammunition and lost fishing tackle. According to the Center for Biological Diversity, one of the five groups that petitioned the EPA, 3,000 tons of lead are shot into the environment by hunting annually, another 80,000 tons are released at shooting ranges, and 4,000 tons are lost in lakes, ponds, rivers, and streams as fishing lures and sinkers.
Trumpeter swans and a lot of the water birds get lead poisoning when they siphon lead pellets from the bottom of lakes and streams. Loons get lead poisoning in some ways, the same way as trumpeter swans, if they eat something, for instance, a small fish that has ingested a lead sinker or has swallowed, a hook with a sinker attached to it.
Gibson says that bald eagles and other scavengers often feed on deer carcasses and gut piles left behind during hunting season. To protect eagles and other wildlife, hunters are encouraged to bury gut piles and dispose of carcasses where they can't be scavenged. But wildlife aren't the only ones at risk from lead exposure. Lead ammunition can also pose serious health risks to people. Lead bullets explode and fragment into minute particles in shot game, which can spread throughout the meat. A recent study found that up to 87% of cooked game killed by lead ammunition can contain unsafe levels of lead. For links to more information about non-lead alternatives for hunting and fishing, and ways to minimize the risks of lead exposure to wildlife and humans, visit our website at WTIP.org.
The Cook County Community Center 1% Steering Committee met Saturday, November 13th to begin the process of seeking proposals from qualified architectural engineering firms for the design phase of a new community center. The committee has left open the design door to consider a facility that may incorporate existing recreation areas, including skating rink, curling rink, tennis courts, skateboard park, baseball parks, playgrounds, and community gardens. The group is also looking at providing a link to the school through an indoor or outdoor pathway, building accessibility for older residents with wheelchairs and walkers or young parents with strollers is also being considered. The steering committee goal with their construction managers, Orb Management, is to have the architect engineer of record on board by January 1st. The request for proposals are currently available with a deadline for submission to the County Auditor Treasurer Office by the close of business on Tuesday, November 30th. Citizens interested in learning about or commenting on Minnesota Department of Natural Resources strategies for managing Cook County lakes and streams have until the 31st of December to ask questions or submit comments. According to Steve Persons, Grand Marais Area Fisheries Supervisor, management plans describe the past, present, and desired future conditions of the waters. The plans identify specific management activities planned for that lake or stream in the next 5 to 20 years. Every year, DNR fisheries staff prepares or revises individual lake and stream management plans for several waters in each management area. In the Grand Marais management area, plans for 9 lakes and 9 streams will be reviewed. Bench and Leo Lakes are currently managed for brook trout. The reviews will consider possible changes in the size or number of fish stocked. Piers Lake is managed for splake and eliminating stocking because of large numbers of smallmouth bass in the lake is being considered. Little Mayhew Lake is a newly established northern pike lake, but the pike are affecting the lake's trout population. In Moss Lake, the DNR is considering cutting back on stocking because of good natural reproduction. Ram Lake may see a reduction in lake trout stocking because of natural reproduction. McFarland, Poplar, and Tate Lakes are managed for walleyes. The DNR is reviewing populations, stocking, and special regulations for these lakes. Streams under review include 8 for brook trout and 1 specifically for steelhead. Flute Reed River is the steelhead stream, and the plan will focus on acquisition, habitat protection, and restoration and monitoring. Elbow, Fiddle, Woods, Irish, and Nestor Creeks are brook trout streams. Habitat protection, restoration, and monitoring are under consideration. The Onion River is managed for brook trout and steelhead. The plan will emphasize habitat protection and monitoring. Stump and swamp rivers may have their trout stream designations dropped. People can review plan details at the DNR's Grand Marais Area Fisheries Office. That's at 1356 East Highway 61 in Grand Marais. The Minnesota Pollution Control Agency has classified the Lower Poplar River at Lutzen as an impaired watershed. That could change within 3 years with a $687,000 grant from the Great Lakes Commission to the Cook County Soil and Water Conservation District. A project kickoff is scheduled for this Saturday, County Water Plan Coordinator Cindy Gentz explains.
Saturday from 1:30 to 3:30 at Lutzen Resort, we're going to have this kickoff event. Then we're also going to have a tour of at least the Uller Tightline project at 2:30. And then we're having refreshments and a social hour.
There are a number of erosion issues with the Lower Poplar River. This results in a sediment load and turbidity.
The Poplar River is technically impaired for both mercury and for sediment or turbidity, the cloudiness of the water. But since basically every water body in Minnesota is impaired for mercury, we're not really dealing with that right now.
There are 4 major parts to the river reconstruction project, starting with the biggest contributor to increased sediment, the steep erosion feature known as the mega slump.
In the study that was completed in 2008, it was determined that the mega slump was about 26% of the total sediment loading to the river. Then also the ski runs, trails, and roads were about 33%. So together, those 2 things make up about 50% of the sediment loading to the river. And so if we fix the mega slump, and now in the next 3 years, we fix these trails and roads, at least the most major sources of sediment, we're hoping that we can get a 50% reduction.
A public introduction to the Poplar River Sediment Reduction Project is Saturday, November 20th from 1:30 to 3:30 p.m. in the Lutzen Resort Conference Room. You've been listening to the North Shore Weekend News Wrap-Up. To hear more from the WTIP News team and to check out the full versions of our stories, visit us at WTIP.org. For North Shore Community Radio, I'm Jay Anderson, wishing you a great weekend.